I just wanna thank God for all the pretty women he let into my life, all the Benjamins he let me count, wealth and health for my family, and let me fall on these niggas.
Now it's a lot of bad bitches in the building, amen. A couple real niggas in the building, amen. I'm finna kill niggas in the building, amen. I tell her way to fit the bottles, and she tell me stay win, and I say church. We make it light up like a church. She wanna fuck and I say church. You live on Sunday like a church.
Bottle after bottle, bottle, drink until I overdose. Pull up in the Phantom, watch some bitches catch the Holy Ghost. Every time I step up in the dealer, I be gone, bro. Shorty wanna fuck me, I say get on top and roll the coast, and I lay back.
Podcasting live from Super Church Radio. It's your boy Superior Sacram. ATM's after dough. This podcast is brought to you by Cygnus.net. Get infected by the masses. Also brought to you by Grind Clothing Company. Success is not a destiny, it's a grind. And also brought to you by the good people at FanDuel. One Day Fantasy League. So what's good with y'all? Got to start today's show off giving RIP to Uncle Junebug. If y'all know who Uncle Junebug is, that's Snoop Dogg's uncle. Pretty much was his hype man, the older gentleman that was always on stage with Snoop acting the fool. We was at a show with him one time. He is a character. Uncle Junebug was really a character. He was a very youthful 70 years of age. He's passed away from colon cancer. I heard from Daz Dillinger that was confirmed. And Snoop Dogg also posted it somewhere. But although it's other people who are close to him saying that he hasn't passed away. They're saying he's on his deathbed, but it was confirmed to me that he passed away today, which is March the 21st, 2014. So, gotta say RIP to Uncle Junebug. And that kind of fits with today's theme, which is talking about the NWA tree. How here on the West Coast, it seemed like you really ain't mainstream unless you're in the NWA family tree. We have a lot of rappers who's doing pretty good, but when you really break it down, those that have real success and longevity, they've been a part of that NWA family tree, which is super deep. And like if Dre stamp you, your life immediately changes. I'm gonna mention to y'all, this is a long list too, and I'm forgetting lots of people, but this is the NWA tree and its branches. All these people are from the NWA tree branch. Okay, Dre, of course, PZ, Ice Cube, DJ Yella, MC Ren, the DOC, his baby mama, Erykah Badu, we got Snoop Dogg, we got Eminem, we got Bone Thugs and Harmony, we got 50 Cent, because you know Dre and Eminem signed him, Corrupt, Daz, D12, Lady of Rage, Mac-10, you know Q put him out, The Game, Dre put him out, Nate Dogg, RIP, RBX, Short Chop, artist that Q put out, Michelle Lay, Warren G, The Eastsiders, The Lynch Mob, Obie Trice, Nocturnal, Lloyd Banks, Young Buck, Tony Yayo, Stat Quo, Exhibit, loosely, because the Alcoholics kind of put him, King T put him out, but Exhibit, he blew up with that Dre stamp, you feel me? He was like pretty much a backpack rapper. He was known in those circles before he got the Dre, Snoop Dogg stamp. Dub C, once he got the Cube stamp, you know, he was doing his thing before them, before, you know, not before them, but without being in a crew, but once he got the Cube stamp, he kind of started doing better. Spider Lobe, Technique, 40 Glock, 50 Cent, you know, put him, was hype, you know, he was banging G-Unit. Bow Wow, you know what I mean? Bow Wow was messing around. Snoop put Bow Wow on. People really don't know that. He took Bow Wow to Jermaine Dupri. Said, man, you good with kids, man. Put, you know, do this. Glasses Malone, Hitman, which I don't know what happened to him. Dre was really pumping him. Truth Hurts, Little Easy, Cassius, JJ Fad. They were the first person on Ruthless Records to go platinum. Above the Law. R.I.P. to K.O.D. CPO. That was MC Ren's artist. Terry B. The white chick that they had, right? One of definitely had to be the first white rapper. Well, no, I heard it was a girl in New York a long time ago, in the 70s. But Terry B, she's a female rapper on Ruthless Records. Cocaine, the Hook King. Black Eyed Peas, people don't know that. They were signed to Ruthless Records. They were called the Abban Clan, which stood for A Tribe Beyond the Nation. Then it was a group called Yo More Mokey. And they were signed to Ruthless, and people really don't know this. They were kind of like a hippie rap group. And a lot of Bone Beats, DJ Unique did their beats for Yo Mama Mokey, but their project like flopped. And like For the Love of Money, they had the same hook, everything, a song For the Love of Money, but it didn't go nowhere. So DJ Unique gave that same beat to Bone, and you see what happened to it. Same song, that's crazy. Look that up, Yo Mama Mokey, For the Love of Money. Same song before Bone got him. That was crazy, because my homeboy was a fan of Yo Mama Mokey. My homeboy J Note. Okay, yeah, and so they got Black Eyed Peas, Will I Am, that's crazy. Easy at Eye for Telling. And Kendrick Lamar, of course, got the Dre stamp. If he didn't get the Dre stamp, as tight of a rapper Kendrick Lamar is, if he didn't get that Dr. Dre NWA stamp, he wasn't a branch off that tree. He would just be another tight rapper like Chino XL, you know what I mean? Like Razzcast, he'd be just another tight ass rapper. Because as tight as Kendrick Lamar is, he is one of the best. He is one of the best. But he's a student of Chino XL and Razzcast. Them dudes been spinning like that forever. But they didn't get that stamp. And at one time, Razzcast did get that stamp. Dre did a beat for him, and I don't know what happened, but Dre did get Razzcast a beat. He really didn't stamp him, though. He just gave him a beat. And then loosely we go DJ Quick, because Easy had a group called the Penthouse Players Click, and that was pretty much Quick Boy, Player Ham, and then Cats. But that right there is the NWA tree. And you know, that got branches. You know, we go on and on, and I know I'm forgetting like some major motherfuckers, too. But that's the tree, the NWA tree. And I kind of got a problem with the Dr. Dre's of the world. I'm going to tell you why. As talented as I think he is, it's like Dre, he really don't like working with the West Coast cats. I know he's seen a lot of bullshit, you know what I mean? I heard, you know, when, I kind of know this for a fact. I know some people that was involved. Like, when he was signed with Death Row, he'll be in the studio making beats, and like Suge niggas from Suge from the hood, a cup go in, like Dre in the studio all by himself making beats. These cats are coming with keys, walking in like, "Hey, Blood, make me a beat, man." So niggas he don't know his shit, and you know Dre said he got tired of that type of shit. But yeah, Dre, he don't like fucking with the West Coast, really. I can see it. He don't want to be around none of that bullshit no more, which is, you know, I kind of feel him, but he got control of this shit. He need, man, He needs to control this shit. Because he could change your life. If Dre signed you today and you like the horrible rapper, you going gold no matter what. I mean, you could be just the most awful rapper we ever heard in our life. But if Dre co-signed our project, you going gold, baby. That's the power that man got. And I know he know he got that power. But he really don't like fucking with the West Coast. He really don't like stamping nobody. And Nipsey Hussle talked about this. Like, we all know Nipsey Hussle would be big as fuck right now. If he got... Man, if Nipsey Hussle would have got the Dre stamp, he'd be like Snoop Dogg. He'd be big as Snoop Dogg, for real. And that's why Nipsey Hussle, he kind of commented on that. He was like, Dre see what I'm doing. And, you know, he ain't hollered at me. Everybody else ain't hollered at me. You know what I mean? He can't help but notice that the dude have serious buzz in L.A. And really on the West Coast. Definitely in Southern California. But Dre ain't reached out to him, like, not even saying, you know, that's what's up, homie. I see you, you know. I'm peeping what you doing. You know what I mean? That probably would have made Nipsey day. Even though motherfuckers ain't no groupies, but shit like that, when a legend like that tell you some shit like that, that's cool. And when they don't, you'll feel like, man, maybe this motherfucker got a problem with me or something. And that's the way Nipsey took it. And in the song, he said, "Some I'm high till I die. Fuck a detox." He said some shit. Yeah, that's exactly what he said. So, you know, he threw that dart, and I knew exactly where he was coming from when he threw that dart. But yeah, but it is a problem with the West Coast too, and I just can't blame Dre for. But you know what? Before I even go there, I'm gonna take you back to when I first heard N.W.A. Cause I don't want y'all to think that I'm hating on N.W.A. at all. Cause I was on they nuts. They changed my life, man. For real. Okay. I always was into music. Always was rapping. You know, even when I was rapping on the low. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Writing on the low. But like, rap. I was influenced to rap by LL Cool J, Crush Groove. When I seen that scene, when he walked in there, and they tried to stop him from the audition, he was like, and he went off. Man, he was like the hardest dude in the world to me at that time. So LL, that's who made me want to be a rapper. LL, so I'm listening to LL, trying to be like LL. Got me. Swap meet. Wasn't no swap malls at that time. Swap meet. Got me a gang of fake electro plated gold chains. Oh man, you can tell me shit. You know the little Mercedes medallions and shit. Last about a week before it turned green. Man, I thought I was LL. You can tell me. This OG dude beat me. Sold me a used old Ragley mothball Kangol for like $25 back, and that was a lot of money back then. And it was old, the hat was busted, like the Kangol emblem was like faded on that bitch. But I had to get out. I had a B route. That's probably all I got off the B route that month, that $25, and I bought that hat. Steve, your fat ass got me, man. But yeah, so I used to think I was LL. Damn, I started liking Rakim too. I'm like, damn, I don't know, man. You know, Rakim the shit. You know what I'm saying? So, but really, I think I'm like LL swag. But I know, I'm knowing then Rakim would kill him lyrically. But so that's what I'm feeling then. My homeboy, C-No, came. I think C-No and George came with the motherfucking White Too Short tape, man. It wasn't even Freaky Tales. This was before Freaky Tales. It was Blowjob Betty and some other shit. Blowjob Betty and Invasion of the Flat Booty Bitches. Yeah. So I'm hearing this shit and I'm like, it just blew my mind. I'm like in ninth grade, I think, or shit like that. No, probably even younger than that. But yeah, but I mean a little older than that. Well, anyway. I hear that Blowjob Betty and Invasion of the Flat Booty Bitches, and I think like two more songs, like one with DJ just scratching on it and all that, Party Time, yeah, I think that. But what was so amazing to me was I was like, damn, you could cuss on records? I couldn't believe you could cuss on a damn record. So that shit like turned me out. I'm like, damn, I'm going to start cussing on my, oh yeah, I changed my name. My name at that time because I was fresh off of breakdancing and shit. My name was Kid Action. So then I changed my name because during Too Short always said in his raps was Freak Nasty. But little did I know, when I got older, I thought he was talking about a bitch. But I changed my name to Freak Nasty, went and got me a sweater, the little iron-ons, put Freak Nasty on that bitch, or you can tell me nothing, man. Went from Kid Action to Freak Nasty. So yeah, so I'm the biggest Too Short fan, you know what I mean? Me and the homies at school, or corduroy zone, pagers on that even turned on and shit, we turned them off and on, beep making them sound like beeping like we important and shit. So we doing all that shit, listen to Too Short. And then, you know, I grew up in a Latino hood. Older essays in the hood who used to kick it with us and shit. Came through. Oh yeah, what was they crew called? The Hogs. They was called the Hogs and shit. They came through. Damn, what was the dude's name? Anyway, this one cat, he had on this record. It was a record. About 10 motherfuckers on the court, on the cover. Jerry Curls, like we all had at the time. They had clocks on, like Public Enemy, big ass clocks and shit, 800s and shit, 40 ounces of 800, Old English, on the cover. Like I said, it's a 12-inch record. Play it. And guess what he put on? Cruising down the street in my 6-4. Man, when I heard that motherfucking song, I said, this dude got a dope-ass voice. He a little better rapper than Too Short. And he talking about this gangster shit that we trying to be at this time. Because we slowly get into this gangbanging shit at this time. Riding skateboards too and shit. But slowly getting into some gangbanging shit too. And then when I heard that, like, my team was kind of the Raiders at the time. Like, I really didn't watch football like that, like the Raiders. My family was the Cowboy fans and shit. But, you know, I kind of like the Raiders and shit. You know, it was home, you know what I mean? But then, you know, I seen them niggas wearing, NWA was wearing, always wearing Raider shit. I was really a Raider fan at that time. Didn't even know what the Kings was when DOC was wearing the Kings shit. I didn't know what the fucking hockey team called the Kings. But, yeah, they turned me out on the Raiders, which a lot of y'all won't even admit. And just musically, it was over. And yeah, and I ain't gonna go all the way deep into Chronic. When I heard the Chronic, it was just the dopest shit in the world. I was like, these dudes, the Beatles, the Black Beatles, basically. Yo, cats my age won't admit the influence that NWA had on us. Man, they had such an influence on us. It's ridiculous. Put it like this. As you know, 40 Water is one of my favorite rappers. You know, 40 really don't shoot that gangster shit that much. He spit it, but not to the level of an NWA or branches of that NWA tree. But I got a homeboy got locked down for murder and shit. He was getting it and shit. You know, he pushed birds, all that good shit. And guess what he said? Yeah, he got out. And guess, you know, we had a deep conversation. Guess what he said, man? He said, man, I'm going to tell you what really had me wilding on the streets and shit, man. It got me locked up, man. He said, E-40. He said, I know 40 would be like, no, man, no. But yeah, he said, man, listen to that 40 shit. He said, man, I'm just getting pumped up listening to that 40 shit, man, trying to get it and, like, thinking I'm the shit. Like, motherfuckers can't fuck with me. I'm saying that to say this, that we get pumped up off this music, man. And then the NWA changed a whole damn nation. I'm just glad. And I don't know how the hell they got away with it. Like, NWA, they weren't really labeled no Bloods or no Crips. Now, if they was hollering Crip or Blood on some shit, oh my God, they would have made everybody go to that side at that age. But us being from the streets, we found out, you know what I mean? We knew EZ was from a Crip neighborhood, you know what I'm saying? But we didn't know nothing about really the other guys. man, that's crazy. But yeah, that NWA tree, I just said that how I got, how I was on they nuts, to let you know how they influenced everybody and how they got me. And they got millions of people the same way they got me. But the problem with the West Coast rap scene, I believe, is our mentality. You know, we burn bridges like a motherfucker. West Coast artists, not give a fuck. I can name about 15 West Coast artists that were doing, not major, but were doing great, you know, on their way to being major. But they would diss the groups that would possibly sign them, like G-Unit, you know what I'm saying? You know, everybody on the West Coast was dissing G-Unit, just in 50 Cent when he came out, you know what I mean? Maybach Music, I'm pretty sure a lot, Rick Ross would have been swooped up one of these L.A. rappers and shit, but niggas just saying, fuck Rick Ross. And it's always been like that, because the West Coast rappers, we really are on the streets. Not to say New York rappers ain't from the streets, but a lot of them are serious about rappers. You know, they was writing poems and shit like that, a lot of New York rappers. No disrespect to my New York listeners. And I know it's a lot of real street motherfuckers from New York. The street motherfuckers from New York is some real street motherfuckers, you feel me? But they always took that rap shit a little more serious than us on the West Coast. Like, on the West Coast, rappers is rappers secondly. You know what I'm saying? They bangers, D-boys, pimps. You know what I'm saying? We got all that in the rap game, like, filled with it. Not just a few, lots of them. I know a lot of them. It's like right now, our biggest underground rappers out here is it's a guy named Messy Moore, Filthy Rich. And then we have Juice, used to be real hot out here. And it's a newcomer named Lavish D from Sacramento. What's up, Lav? All kind of people trying to sign him right now. You know what I mean? But all those dudes I was named to you, they like all at each other's throat right now. It's the West Coast shit, you know what I mean? Like, motherfuckers is really street dudes. And this is one of the reasons Dr. Dre don't want to stamp some of these motherfuckers. He don't want no problems. He don't want no beef. He older, which I understand that part of it. And like I said, that's one of the reasons Nipsey went off on Dre, because we're noticing that. Because a stamp of approval from Dre changed your life. And don't get me wrong, those stamps are expensive. If Dre stamp you, he getting paid. Believe that. Believe that. But yeah, it's just, so to all my up and coming rappers, it's that NWA tree that's getting paid out here with you on the West Coast. I'm not saying you can't do it without being under that tree, but being under that tree is the place to be. Church. Okay, let me go ahead and get into this week's hot issues. Yeah, I don't watch that bullshit on Dancing with the Stars. I don't watch that shit. But I happen to watch clips of Billy Diaz on it. Billy D, 70 years old, I believe they said. You know, he was always known as being the cool ladies' man. But sometimes you need to set your ass down. Billy D need to set his ass down. Y'all see how, y'all see him dancing, YouTube him dancing. Like, I think they throwing somebody off next week. I guarantee, I got money on it. I got 5-1 odds. Y'all who know me, hit me up. We could bet. I got 5-1 odds that motherfucker get thrown off. I think Monday or some shit, the next show into the TV show. Like I said, I don't watch that shit. Somebody getting thrown off, whoever they think voted did the worst, and it's definitely him. You just gotta watch, see what he's doing. Like, he was too cool. He's so cool. He's so cool, like the boy Kid Frost said. so cool, I'ma call you a coolo. You know what I mean? He was too cool to be on the show. Yeah. Y'all got to peep that. Billy D, sit your ass down somewhere. Well, y'all gotta give a shout out to Nelly. I was watching some on TV. On primetime television at that. And Nelly got a damn Cheerio commercial. A Honey Nut Cheerio commercial. Nelly. I'm like, you know, this wouldn't have been a big deal to me during the It's Hot in Here days, the country grammar days and shit. But, you know, Nelly really ain't had a hit in a minute. And, shit, he got a great management behind him. Yeah, he got a Honey Nut Cheerio commercial. I know they gave him at least 6 digits for that shit. Shout out to Nelly. My favorite villain. Fucked up again. Y'all know. Chris Machiavelli Brown. Setting up in jail. Finally done put his ass in jail. Didn't I tell y'all he was going to jail? And it's like conflicting stories on what happened. But he's going to spend at least a month in jail. So let me go ahead and read to y'all what I found online about this. It says Chris Brown will return to jail for a month after being arrested on Friday, March the 14th, for violating his probation. A judge cited his inability to stay out of trouble as grounds to keep him locked up until April 23rd. Brown, 25 years old, was arrested on Friday based on a warrant issued by probation officials and held without bail. Though authorities have not yet revealed the cause of the alleged probation violation, TMZ has reported that the singer was kicked out of a Malibu rehab center for violating unspecified internal rules. It had to be one of three rules, they said, including one which allegedly applied only to him and which required him to stay at least 2 feet away from other women at the rehab. Brown allegedly violated that rule by touching the elbows and hands of a woman, as well as leaving the facility last week on an unauthorized outing, and initially refused to take a random drug test upon his return, which later the test reported negative, but the initial refusal violated the rehab's rules. Sound like they kind of fucking with him if all that's true. He also reportedly acted out during a rehab group session by making harsh comments. Yeah, they said he was saying he's good with a knife and good with his gun. He was crazy as hell for saying that. He was being a little 200 in there. He also reportedly acted out during a rehab group session by I just said that. Brown was stated to finish his probation in August, but with the reported 750 hours of community labor left to complete, God damn, and possible additional penalties for not completing rehab, it's likely his probation could be extended once again. And on top of that, y'all, our boy Chris Machiavelli Brown is still filing an assault case in April. And they're going to see if he violates parole for that. And the rumors that I'm hearing about this shit, it's two rumors that I heard. If that shit true about him touching elbows and all that shit, he got in trouble, man. They fucking with him. But what I heard, the two rumors that I heard, one is that he fucked one of the bitches there who run the shit. Now she should be in trouble too. And then another one I heard was that he had a threesome with two of the other anger management chicks in there. That's the one, that's what I think is more likely. But anyway, I've been in one of them programs before. Not for anger management. I went to a drug program. I ain't never did nothing past weed in my life. I never even popped a pill, y'all. You know, I'm total square when it comes to that shit. But I got caught with some work, and they put me in a program. We'll leave it at that. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, I was a dope fiend. And yeah, you can't. That's one of the main rules. You can't have no relationship with nobody in the damn program with you. That's number one reason you get thrown out. Yeah, Chris motherfucking Brown, boy, they gonna give him the max of whatever. They gonna give him the max of it. That other Casey fighting, that Saul Casey fighting April 20-something. Yeah, they gonna give him the max for that one. And they gonna be violating probation too. He in trouble now. They tired his ass. Alright. This is my, I'm putting this in the middle of the news this week. This is the wowzer moment of the week right here. Peep this shit. Tidious or Tyrese LeBron, 42, allegedly knifed Demetrius Jimmy Karaluka, 61, in front of 20 terrified diners at Jimmy's Tavern at 7:30 p.m. last Thursday. The disgruntled dishwasher stabbed the West Eatery owner 3 times on his left side and once in the back and attacked another employee. All of this in front of 20 terrified diners. This happened in Palm Beach County. Horrified customers called authorities and the owner was rushed to a hospital where he died soon after. The deputies found LeBron wearing his black work apron and carrying the alleged murder weapon walking down a nearby road. LeBron, who immigrated from Haiti in 2005, reportedly told cops in Creole, "I killed him because he took my photograph on March 2nd and posted it on the internet." Wow. This motherfucker hacked his boss for taking a picture of him and putting it on the internet. That boy wasn't with social media, was he? I always say, man, don't fuck with them water niggas, man. Them water niggas is no motherfucking joke. Alright. Dame Dash. Man, I'm rooting for this dude big time. The former Rockefeller Records mogul showed up more than an hour late for a trial in which former girlfriend Linda Williams is suing him for wrongful imprisonment. He came to court with some baggy jeans that allegedly constantly revealed his gray underwear. Boy, it was sagging. He then gets to some sort of negativity with 2 female reporters in the courtroom audience and shouts at a judge. Then outside the courtroom, he accused a female reporter of being racist and starts taping her with his cell phone, which is not permitted. I didn't know that. Outside the courtroom? Shit. Well, in that case, you shouldn't be able to film nobody with your cell phone. Dash waited outside the courthouse for the reporters with his 3 aides. He ain't too broke. Got 3 aides. Yeah, everybody's saying Damon Dash is broke. Dash then followed them down the street, videotaping the reporters as he screamed, "Racist!" and other taunts, his voice bouncing off the buildings, causing passerbyers to stop and stare. "I'm going to make you famous," he said. Dash 43 is getting sued by his ex-girlfriend Linda, claim he is falsely arrested. Williams 49 testified that Dash virtually imprisoned his son in his apartment for days while she was out of town. After she attempted to have him served a court order to keep away from the boy, he then concocted a claim that she violated an order to stay away from him to divert trouble from himself. Dash told Williams had sent her 10 emails between June and July 15th of 2009, calling him a bad father and making fun of his well-publicized money problems. Williams said she was arrested in front of their 17-year-old son and wound up spending 14 hours in custody. "It was like a nightmare," she cried. The charges were eventually tossed after Dash failed to turn over the alleged emails to investigators. He didn't want to send his bride to jail. Dash arrived in the middle of Williams' testimony, decked out in white sneakers, a plaid shirt, and drooping jeans. They just keep on talking about them jeans. That kept exposing his gray underwear. He initially tried to sit next to his lawyer, but was waved back to the audience by a court officer. As soon as he sat down, he stared and started muttering about racist and kept glaring back at a reporter from the news and another member of the media. After the court officer told him to quiet down, he then moved to the back of the courtroom where he started peering at one of the reporter's computers and talking to one of his aides. After the judge excused the jury, at the end of the day, he told Dash, who was again glaring and staring at one of the reporters, to knock it off. "Leave that woman alone," the judge barked. "I can't look," Dash said. "Nothing wrong with looking," Dash shot back. York, the judge, again barked at him to stop. "Stop it, okay? Stop it." And then Dash said, "I won't put my eyeballs on her then." The judge then told Dash's antics weren't going to help him with the jury. "I want to talk to these racist reporters," Dash protested. He and his aides then left the courtroom and were waiting for the reporters when they got outside. Dash followed the women screaming, hollering, and videotaping them for close to 3 blocks. It's footage of Dash outside filming the reporters and talking crazy to them. And you could tell, boy, Dash, you could tell he having hard times, but it looked like he just ready to snap, man. Like, he got his beard gray and shit. Yeah, he got, like, you know, some, like, regular jeans on and shit. He just looked like he hopped out of bed and went to court. Yeah, you could tell he mad to the motherfucker, though. But he looked like he ready to snap. Man, but they keep on fucking with Dane. And then, yeah, of course his money getting funny. You know, he ain't bringing in what he used to bring in. And he's, you know, he's used to a certain style of life. He's accustomed to certain things. But when you ain't bringing that shit in, you don't want to cash in on that shit you have. But yeah, man, I'm rooting for my boy Damon Dash. He got a couple, like, art museums that's doing pretty good, though. And I believe he said he got over, I think he said he got over 20 people employed. So he doing all right. He doing all right. And now, you know, now we talking about the Rockefeller Records. My boy, I told y'all in the last episode, Kanye better stop fucking up and having me defend his ass all the time. And he just done fucked up. Speaking of him, he fucked up. He just got 2 years of probation for that footage y'all seen of him at the airport with the paparazzi dude. And the paparazzi dude act like his arm, act like Kanye broke his arm because Kanye was trying to take the camera from him. Yeah, he got 2 years of probation for that shit. And y'all know the way Kanye is, he ain't gonna last with no probation. He gonna violate that shit. Unless he might as well just pack his tour on in, and cause if him being outside, he gonna violate that shit. Somebody gonna make him violate that shit. They know how to push Kanye buttons, cause he like emotional like a chick, so. And hell yeah, he gonna violate that shit. But yeah, what I was gonna say before I said that, my boy J motherfucking C, my favorite rapper. It's footage of him online, a picture. And I ain't saying this just because I'm a Jay-Z fan. Like, I got the first cat that hit me up with it was Rosebud, a pimp partner of mine. Man, look at this motherfucker, man. And showed me a picture of Jay-Z wearing what looked like a motherfucking skirt. It do look like a skirt. It ain't a skirt, though. I'm gonna give him that ain't no skirt, but it ain't no shit the niggas in Brooklyn wearing. Jay-Z no better than wearing this shit. I don't know where it is. It look like some shorts on top of some pants. It look like some baggy shorts on top of some pants, some tight pants. It's not a good look at all. It damn near do look like a skirt, but it ain't a skirt, but it ain't cool at all. I don't know what he's trying to do with that young shit. I don't believe what everybody's saying. Illuminati told him to wear a dress and all that bullshit. I don't believe that. I do believe the powers that be will make your black ass tap dance, though. But yeah, Jay-Z, that's a bad look for my boy. Y'all Google that shit yourself. It's a bad look for my boy, ho. But yeah, that's going to end our hot issues of the week. And that's going to also end this show, y'all. I'll be back in a week or two to get back at y'all. Until then, y'all be safe. Take care of yourself. And I'm going to end my show like I end them all. Feel free to be yourself, because everybody else is taken. Church.
I just want to thank God for all the pretty women he led into my life. All the benjamins he let me count. Wealth and health for my family.